I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Now then, everybody, welcome back to the Gridiron Gentlemen podcast. One ecstatic gentleman and another fairly pleased gentleman joined me to discuss everything wildcard weekend. So let's welcome the slightly happy gentleman, Phil. How's it going, Phil?
Very good. Thank you, William. How are you?
All the better for getting to talk NFL football with you fine gentlemen. And the man who's changed his trousers at least three times since the weekend, it's Dan. How's it going, Dan?
To change them at all is generally an extravagance for me. But yeah, I have changed them. Bear down, Will, to all those that celebrate. Bear down.
To all those that celebrate. Nice.
The back is bear down and take it.
Yeah. Maybe not.
More on that later. So before we start talking about that, a wonderful wildcard weekend in the NFL, some news has happened. Thanks to our NFL overlords for breaking the news before we started recording the podcast. That's always helpful.
But, always appreciated.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin has, in air quotes, retired from being the Steelers head coach. What do we think of this?
Was the term retired or was it resigned? I wasn't...
Resigned.
Yeah, sorry. Got my terminology all mixed
I wouldn't
up.
Have blamed him for retiring. He must be fairly stressed and want to like spend some time away from the game at this point. Mm. One season with Aaron Rodgers will do that to you.
Can put up with all sorts of crap, but as soon as Aaron Rodgers takes
to deal with Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, all of the nonsense he's had come through. You know, Ben Roethlisberger. All of no. One season with Aaron Rodgers was just a bit too much for him.
And then maybe he's got a regular spot on the Pat McAfee show now, thanks to his association with Aaron Rodgers. So maybe that's what he's doing.
Swings and roundabouts.
That doesn't really seem like his kind of thing, if I'm honest.
No,
he seems sensible. Not a big surprise. They've sort of been middle of the road for a long time now. And I think I said this about the Ravens thing. It might just be time for a new voice. And I mean, to be honest with Pittsburgh, I think it might just be time to kind of blow it up and start again. And I don't know if Mike Tomlin is your rebuild coach. I'm sure he could do it. He's a very, very talented coach. His record proves that. The fact that he gets, a winning season every season, just no matter what level of talent he's had, he has always had a winning season. And the fact that, he's managed that with that is shows how good a coach he is. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he could do a rebuild. It's just, would you want to? Because I don't think it's going to be a short rebuild. And at this point, he might just, take a couple of years off and then maybe come back to coach some team and try and win a Super Bowl. That would be what I would think he would do. He strikes me as the kind of guy that likes being on the sideline. I don't know if he'd necessarily go off to be a pundit or something like that. I don't think that's really his thing.
I don't know.
I mean, I think he'd be very, very good. I get the feeling that he likes to just stare at people rather than actually say things. And that doesn't work necessarily well as a pundit. Just somebody just said something stupid. He just stares at them like, get out. Get the fuck out of my room.
I would advise you to go to his social media. He is very personable. Yeah. He is hilarious. When James Harrison came back, it was just a video of James Harrison working out and him just poking his head every now and then going and smiling and laughing and just talking about like there goes the neighborhood and stuff like that. And like he genuinely he's got away with words. His press conferences have always been entertaining. I will never forget We Will Unleash Hell here in December. Like when he literally just he made an entire room of reporters just freeze, and then they went and won enough games for him to get a winning record, because he doesn't do losing records. I can imagine someone one of the many companies that are now providing an NFL football on television. I can imagine them providing him with a vast contract. I'm looking your direction, Amazon, by the way. I think that would be a good shout. Yeah, I think he'd be really good. Jason Garrett's a dial tone. just get him off there and just get anyone else. Tomlin would be amazing in that position.
Oh, anything's better than Jason Garrett. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I remember watching that season of All or Nothing that was on the Cowboys. He was awful.
I don't know how he's got a TV job. He has no personality.
Just like, you are one of the worst or just least interesting coaches I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And as a coach, you kind of have to be interesting to sort of get your players motivated and get them to pay attention to what you want them to do and stuff. You kind of need to have something. But he has nothing. He just claps. Just claps. Yeah, let's go. Yeah. That's it.
I think you either have to have a great record or a personality to be a TV pundit. And that's how I don't really understand how Jason Garrett's kind of snuck through the cracks on that one.
Don't get it, mate.
Yeah.
I think it's just because he was a Dallas Cowboys head coach, and because Dallas Cowboys are obviously the team that gets the most media.
Mm.
Therefore, you kind of get dragged. You get sort of like bonus fame off of that shit. I don't know. I'm with you. Luckily, I've not had to deal with it as far as I'm aware. I haven't watched anything with Jason Garrett talking as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. Sorry, just finishing my matcha. One second.
No. You do your thing, you fucking millennial.
More on that in a bit.
I don't know if I've got any kind of ground to stand on that, because I am a true millennial.
I'm also a millennial, by the way. I think it's both surprising and unsurprising, in the same way that the John Harbaugh firing was both surprising and unsurprising, in the sense that it probably makes sense. But also, I think we're going to have the biggest run of head coaches that have been fired walking into other head coaching jobs that we've seen in a very long time. There are 9 head coaching jobs out there. And for me, this year seems lighter on potential head coach talent than we've ever seen. So what I think most likely is we'll see like Mike McDaniels, we'll see Stefanski, we'll see Harbaugh, and potentially, if someone's willing to trade for him, Mike Tomlin. Like going straight back into head coaching roles if they want to do it. And then we're going to see some weird ones. I genuinely think Matt Nagy might end up as a head coach.
The Cardinals have got to be better than that.
That is what will happen, yeah. Because Tomlin will go to like the Giants or something, where he's got a defense to build on and a quarterback and bits to build off of. That's where he'll end up going. Because there's no way they're going to let him, like, trade him to the Ravens. That's just not going to be a thing.
I've got an idea.
The Ravens will probably get Jesse Minter, to be fair.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that who you reckon? I don't know. I it depends whether you want to build around the defense or you want to build around Lamar.
We think Sirianni's gone at some point soon.
No, well, they got rid of the offensive coordinator. That's the other news, isn't it? Whoever the offensive coordinator is this week.
He'd made such an impact that Dan can't remember his name.
I genuinely can't remember his name. What was his name?
Nothing matters.
I'm trying to find it now. Petullo, there we go. Of course, I did actually know that. Yeah, he's been fired out of a cannon that Big Dom's brought into the training ground.
We all know Big Dom. Big Dom runs the team.
Well, Big Dom might be their next play caller, their next offensive coordinator there. It is amazing how many different people Sirianni can throw to the wolves to save himself.
It was all this guy. It was all this guy. Yeah, because you do nothing.
Well, it's because they win a Super Bowl every other year, or they become head coaches every other year. So they're like, so since college, Jalen Hurts had a different offensive coordinator. We've moved on. Sorry, we should probably go back to Tomlin. I got carried away, but yeah,
that's all right. Getting carried away is what we do.
Yeah. But no, Sirianni's not gone. And also, while we're at it, Zach Taylor is now the only remaining head coach in the AFC North.
That how is crazy.
He should have been the first one fired.
Yeah.
Just fire him, fire the GM. Let's all move on. Draft an O-line. Okay? That's all you need to do.
No.
Not a hard job. It's not a hard job.
Just keep
doing all the things the Bengals will not do.
Yeah, exactly. Keep doing the same thing over and over again. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
that'll work out.
The general
Joe Burrow won't be Andrew Luck.
Mm. Yeah.
So do we think that the Steelers job is actually an attractive job?
Not massively to start. Not no. I don't know. Partially, maybe because of the idea of it being what would probably end up being a complete rebuild. Yes, if they told me it was a complete rebuild from the background up, and we're going to give you know, some time to get this right and everything else. Yes, if they want to try and compete straight away, which would be my concern because they're so used to competing, or at least making the playoffs. If they feel like, well, we're only a couple of players away from a Super Bowl run, I wouldn't want it. That's not the job I would want because they're not.
I'm sure you already know this. Phil, how many head coaches do you think the Steelers have had since 1969? Yeah, exactly.
Three.
I think that alone says that that's an appealing job in the sense
Yeah,
that
you got job security.
you will be given a chance to do whatever it is you think it is you need to do. They love defensive coaches as well, so there's a ton of them this year. What's his face from the Packers? That allowed 31 points last week. He might be quite a good
Halfway.
athlete. Yeah, that's the guy. But he's going to get some buzz. He's really good, to be fair. My tongue is firmly in cheek when I say things like that. But he would be a good shout. I think Harbaugh would actually be weirdly a good shout for the Steelers. And then
All
maybe.
that, just to swap coaches.
They're just going to swap.
Harbaugh and Tomlin are
Just
just
straight
joy.
trade. No picks or anything. Just literally just switch jobs. Just do wife swap for
They're
basically.
just George Harrison and Eric Clapton's wives. But it's a deep
Switch
cut
over.
reference there. That would be entertaining, wouldn't it? Like a Freaky Friday situation going on in the NFC North.
Hey. Hey. It's you, it's you. This is weird.
Big shoes to fill, though. Like, Tomlin's getting some hate because, I mean, he never really won a playoff. They obviously did win playoff games. That's my bad. That's a terrible reference. They won a Super Bowl, in fact.
They won two.
They won two Super Bowls. But,
They won two and then were unlucky to be in the same conference as Tom Brady for like 15 years. I'll kind of let him off for that. And winning season pretty much year in, year out.
In one of the toughest divisions
In a
in
tough, in a
consistently
tough,
toughest divisions in the league,
brutal division, and he gets winning records year in, year out, makes the playoffs pretty much every year. Two Super Bowls. Yeah, no, anybody hating on Tomlin is just literally looking at the fact that the Steelers have been a bad team to watch for a couple of seasons.
I think it's fair to say that he hasn't been at his best in the last few years, but he still can't take away from his legacy.
And
No.
I mean, when you think about the like quarterbacks he's had to play with, he had, the last few, especially the last few seasons, you've had end of the career, Ben Roethlisberger was a completely immobile statue and couldn't throw anymore. You've had, what was it, Justin Fields, you've had, who
Russell
wasn't
Wilson.
Russell Wilson, that was a disaster.
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny
Kenny Pickett,
Pickett, who is an average backup at best. And then you've had end of the career Aaron Rodgers, who was okay.
If Aaron
Again,
Rodgers
basically
retires,
playing like a backup. Just
if Aaron Rodgers retires, his last throw would have been a pick six, which is absolutely
I
hilarious.
want that. Oh, see, he's a dick, though. He won't let that happen. He'll stay on for another season now, won't he?
Who wants him?
I don't know, but someone will be stupid enough to take the chance, won't they? Because it's
Don't
Aaron Rodgers.
will they?
I mean, someone will. We know teams aren't that smart. Look at the Browns.
One of them was bound to be good. One of them was bound to be good. It was the
None of
guy
them
they
were
let go. It
good.
was the 40-year-old guy they let go. But one of them was
Calling
bound to
him
be
good
good.
is a stretch. Okay, he was serviceable at best. He played some decent games then for Cincinnati after that, and then was again serviceable at best. None of their quarterbacks, none of the six quarterbacks you had were good. Browns have no idea what they're doing.
How do you solve
they're
a problem?
Wasting Myles Garrett.
I didn't guys. I mean, how do you solve a problem at Steelers as well? That's the other thing. Like,
it's a teardown.
Yeah, it's got to be, right?
This era of Steelers football is over. The stars you've got are aging, especially on defense. You've got a couple of young people that you want to build around. You've got some young talent on the offensive line, but you know a lot more talent needs to be added. So it is a multi-year rebuild.
Yeah, see if you can get some picks for the aging stars, and tear it down and start again, build from the bottom up.
Yeah, it's a reasonably good situation in the sense that like all the guys they brought in as just like bit pieces to fill the gaps were 1 year contracts. So Kyle Duggar, Adam Thielen, like Scott Miller, Trey Flowers, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Jabril Peppers, Aaron Rodgers, Isaac Suamalo. Like these are all players that you can really just let go without really having to worry about it too much.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are that in that situation, they've still got $40 million in cap space before making any changes.
Yeah. So, but I think there's enough talent deficiencies on the team whereby I don't think you can get it all sorted out in one off season.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Especially not a quarterback, because lots of teams need a quarterback. There aren't very many quarterbacks to go around this off season.
So goodbye to Jalen Ramsey on $19.5 million cap saving.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Patrick Queen, $13.3 million cap saving. You keep TJ Watt, you kind of build around that. You could probably let Cam Hayward go for $14 million.
Or you get him to renegotiate.
Yeah. You'd probably keep DK.
Yeah, he's not a bad if you are rebuilding and you're gonna go get like a young quarterback. It's not a bad option to have a decent first choice wide receiver to start with.
I just wonder, like on this team, who do you actually build around? Like who's their star player?
Who's young?
Yeah.
Oh.
Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
That was my thought as well. But okay, so who's their star offensive weapon? Just DK Metcalf. Right?
DK Metcalf is their best offensive weapon.
Yeah,
when used correctly.
Zach Frazier's very good. They've got a couple of other half decent young offensive line players, but they do need some more skill player talent.
Mm-hmm.
And a quarterback.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, they need like a GM style head coach. So someone like Mike Tomlin, for example, would be really, really good at this. So,
yeah. That's a good point.
There's a guy at UNC who's probably going to be out of a job soon. How about him?
Imagine. Oh, that's the kind of thing they would do.
I don't think so.
I don't think they'd do it. But it'd be really funny for everybody else if they did. Bill Belichick, this is my girlfriend. She's 21.
Imagine if the Browns took him.
Yeah, that's kind of what they deserve, I think, at this point.
I just, 9 jobs, though, is insane. I didn't foresee there being this many vacancies. And yeah, none of them being Zach Taylor.
Is it 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Mike McDaniels was fired.
Yeah.
Harbaugh was fired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Yep, sorry, yes. Yeah, because I remember the 7 we did, and then I was blanking on, I thought we'd done McDaniel. I thought that was one of the 7 we did, but it wasn't. I now feel better about Mike Daniel's mental health, because he's no longer the head coach of Miami. I think he'll do much better now he's not there.
I think there's a couple of them that it was like, we have to get them out of there. Why? They'll have a breakdown.
Because he's about to kill someone.
Stefanski and McDaniel, yeah, being the two like leaders there. But yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's move on and let's talk about a wonderful weekend of NFL football. And let's go through the games chronologically, because that seems like a reasonable thing to do. So the Los Angeles Rams traveled to Carolina to take on the 8-9 Carolina Panthers. The Los Angeles Rams were 10.5 point favourites in this game and nearly freaking lost to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, fair play to the Panthers. Everybody wrote them off. Nobody gave them a chance. And they proved that that was a silly thing to do.
Mm.
Some of that was they got lucky. That blocked punt, for example, I think that was, well, Rams special teams hasn't been very good. So maybe it's not as much luck as I think it is. But
I mean, the guy who was blocking the guy who blocked it did nothing. He made the entire business decision of, just in a very softly, oh, he's got past me. Oh, no. And then sort of carried on, and the guy and he sort of looks over his shoulder and goes, oh, maybe I should have put some more effort into that.
Yeah, but they did. They had a good game plan. I think they managed to attack the one weakness of the Rams defense, and that is mm-hmm. wad up the middle, go max protect, and nullify the defensive line. Then the secondary just can't keep up, especially when you've got big receivers like Coker and McMillan. So I think they did a lot of good things in the pass game. Managed to pressure Stafford enough, and I think I'm trying not to be too mean to the Panthers, but I do think it would have been a case of the Rams choking this game away rather than the Panthers outplaying them. But like I said, I'm trying to be fair because they did come in with a good game plan and they executed it well. But
yeah, they did the best with, if you consider the talent gap between the two, you know, they were always going to have to be the plucky underdogs and they were going to have to get some luck go their way, really. That is the joy of it being one-off games. You know, there is a chance that can happen. And they got close.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did the best they could have done. It was just the talent of the Rams did eventually pull through and win the game for them. But the Panthers put up a hell of a fight and probably a better fight than, I don't know, let's say the Bucks would have done.
Yeah, no, definitely. Bucks would have folded like a flan of a cupboard.
Yeah, you know, it gave me some definite hope for the Panthers going forward from here. You know, Bryce Young's got his first taste of playoff football. Dave Canales clearly knows what he's doing in the terms of like getting a game plan together for a superior skill and everything else. So that's good. If you get into the playoffs again next year, you know he's going to have a game plan. And it gives a good chance it'll work. And if you add more talent to that roster, they're going to get better. And then they won't be just plucky underdogs. They'll be genuinely competitive.
They will be the kings of shit mountain.
Yeah. You know, somebody's got to be. They might even have a winning record. Who knows?
Crazy.
So yeah, I definitely there's definitely some positives for that for the Panthers to take out of that, and the Rams should be concerned that they let them get that close.
Indeed.
Yes, they did eventually pull it out, as most good teams do, but that was much much closer than it should have been, and I would be very worried going into the next round. They're facing the Bears. Yeah, I'd be shitting myself.
it's all right. They're going up against a team that historically is really quite good in the fourth quarter, so that can close a game like the one they just won. But so a couple of things I was impressed with from the Panthers: their cornerbacks, who I think have played really really well. Mike Jackson's looked excellent so far, and we only got like a brief amount of the other fella,
Jesse Horn.
But like he looked good as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just that secondary in general, I think it needs another piece. But Trayvon Moehrig as well has been playing really well. And then just like a decent pass rush would be nice. Like it's okay. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not elite.
It can be built on. That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I feel quite confident the Panthers can build on everything, as long as Bryce Young is the future at quarterback.
Hmm.
That's the concern, I think. I quite like the receiving group. Like, if Tet McMillan's your number one receiver and you've got Coker and Legit there, that's fine. I like the running back pairs. the offensive line needs a little bit of work, some tweaking.
Some of that's just getting healthier, though, because
yeah, absolutely.
They had like Hunt was out for the majority of the year, wasn't he? And he's an excellent guard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, I, if I was Carolina, I'd feel vaguely optimistic coming out of this game, in the sense that you at least made it a game. What you do with Bryce Young, I don't know. I think he's at least earned another year. They've talked about how, apparently, according to The Athletic, they're going to pick up his fifth year option.
Yeah, that's been confirmed today. They've done that.
Yeah, good.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the best thing to do is get some more offensive line talent, experience, and health, and see how well he performs behind an improved offensive line. That would be the key, because I think some of his struggles have come from the line in front of him not being as good as it possibly could be. And I think maybe behind some slightly better protection, you might see some better football from him. It's not that he's been bad, it's just that he's not necessarily at the level you would want him to be if you really want to contend.
Yeah, but I think they're doing the right thing. They're giving him essentially 2 more years to prove that he deserves another contract. And if he doesn't deserve another contract, you've then got a team built for a quarterback to be dropped straight into.
Yeah.
So I think it's all
good. Like the Rams when they originally got Stafford, you know?
Yeah. So I think it's all good from their point of view.
Yep.
But for the Rams' point of view, well, you've already mentioned it, Phil, that didn't look great. And against better opposition, it could not have, not they could have lost quite readily. How do you feel about the Rams coming to Soldier Field, Dan? Or should we save that for the next pod?
No, don't mind saving it for the next pod. Like, I'm not optimistic. Like, I feel like every Packers fan that's gone, oh, look, it's their Super Bowl. I'm like, for starters, if you'd have won, it would have been your Super Bowl as well. Because I get to watch my team again next week. It's for me, there is an element that it probably was. So, like, I think there is going to be, don't get me wrong, I've seen lots of reports of going, Ben Johnson mistreating Matt LaFleur means that Sean McVay's going to be mad and he's going to come into Soldier Field and they're going to play harder. I'm like, I've seen Sean McVay. He's a psychopath. Like, he doesn't care about Matt LaFleur.
That man does not care about anybody.
Exactly. It's like, oh, what, you mean they weren't going to try if Ben Johnson had of shaken Matt LaFleur's hand and not said fuck the Packers? Like, no, that might be in his head and there might be an air of revenge, but like, I dare say that more importantly to him will be just winning the game. And these guys, these sickos, tend to really up their game when they're playing other sickos. And I think the sickest of all of them is Kyle Shanahan. But then the next guy, is Sean McVay, who will be looking at this going, so everyone likes Ben Johnson, huh? I'll remind them that everyone should be liking me. And like, and I just think that, sorry, Packers fans, but I think the Rams are a much better team.
They are. That's yeah.
And so like, and
we didn't have Micah Parsons. Oh.
Don't. The whinging has been,
it's been lovely.
We'll get onto that in the next game.
It's but been like, music.
It's been wonderful. Yeah. I grow fat off their tears. I do think that there are slight concerns about closing out games. I would be very concerned if I'm the Rams going up against the Bears wide receivers that seem to have found a bit of form towards the end of every game, but particularly last game as well. And I think it's going to be insanely high scoring. But I also kind of think that that hopefully that is pause for them to be like, well, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and see if we can actually make this work. One last thing is that if the Rams do win, I will obviously be upset, but like, not to the same extent that I would have been upset if we'd lost that last game. Because, yeah, I understand how you feel, Packers fans, trust me. But it would hurt. But it's one of those ones that I think that, I don't know. I don't know whether the wind's been taken from the Bears' sails now, but I would be very surprised if they didn't Didn't put up at least a bit of a fight, more of a fight than the Packers may have done.
But yeah, I think so.
Definitely, yeah.
But the Rams can't afford to have another performance like this.
No, not so.
So
Ben Johnson will stamp on them for that.
Exactly, that is it is concerning for them. All right, seeing as we've already talked about it a little bit anyway, let's move on to the next game of the weekend. That was at Soldier Field as the Green Bay Paper Tigers traveled to the Chicago Bears to take on Ben Johnson and his attitude.
Yeah. Like, so someone raised a great point today about this, which is that they're like, you would never see Green Bay Packers like coaches acting like this. I'm going to say Curly Lambeau. I'm going to say Lombardi, Vince Lombardi. How did that take me so long to think? The trophy is fucking named after him. George Halas, like all these people have actively nearly got in fights with each other. So like if Ben Johnson doesn't shake his head, you had a quarterback that was shouting at the crowd, "I still own you," for like the longest period of time. You have had, they've all the Packers players said they wanted the Bears because they wanted revenge. And they've been on the record saying that. Was Ben Johnson stupid saying that he quite enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year? Two reasons for no. One, he did it. Secondly, if you go into a Bears press conference and you don't say something disparaging about the Green Bay Packers, you're probably looking for another job already at that point, because he's like, well, didn't seem to hate the Packers as much as I'd like him to. So, like, he's got to say something. And I think that the nerdiest thing he would say was, like, I liked beating Matt LaFleur twice, which makes sense because, like, he brought on his own experience and he kind of said, yeah, it was nice to beat Matt LaFleur. So that's how all this started. It's not. It started over 100 years ago. But it's in recent years, that's kind of how it started. The Packers are upset because they lost a game to a better team in the end. Now, were they a better team throughout the entire game? Absolutely not. Not even slightly. But the Packers also were probably upset that they had a kicker that cost them 7 points. They had a team that just couldn't get anything moving. And that their head coach got outcoached. But all their coaches got outcoached in the second half of the game when they didn't change a single thing. And the Bears went and went, you know, we need to change a few things on here.
Well, coming out of the break was, I think, the most impressive part of the Chicago Bears, especially on defense. I do think it was a combination of Matt LaFleur being way too conservative in some of his play calling, but the Bears also adjusted to what was going on, and that was very impressive. Just on the rivalry thing, slow your roll, Packers fans. It's shit like that that makes rivalries fun.
Yeah.
people mouthing off at the team's rivals, it makes it all the sweeter when you beat them. So
can we not act like Packers fans are saints whenever they beat somebody?
It's all good fun. It's all in good fun.
They have spent the last 15 plus years just lording it over the fucking Bears. The Bears beat you once in the playoffs when it fucking matters, and you're sitting there fucking crying.
And they're all fucking conspiracy theorists now, like slowing down tape to notice, well, that was a hold. It's like, yes, it probably was. But do you know where else there were holds? Every other fucking play. It's the playoffs. Everyone fucking holds in the playoffs. That's what happens. And they're like, well, yeah. I like in the Manning cast, I was watching it last night. In the Manning cast, JJ Watt's sitting there going, oh, nice hold on my brother there. Just casually. And they just carried on talking. Like, he knew that was going to happen. That's what happens. These things happen. A few rough hits on Jordan Love. Yeah, okay, so the first game, I think Austin Booker was probably a little bit out of order, but I also don't think that was intentional. Also, what about all the times that they hit our players? These things happen in rivalries. It gets heated and teams go at each other. And you know what? I would be annoyed if my Chicago Bears didn't play a little bit rougher against the Green Bay Packers. And I'm sure the Packers would be fans would be annoyed if their players didn't do the same thing. Like, yeah, you lost a game. We've lost countless games in the last since I've been a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're just not used to it. They're not used to you guys being better than them, and they're bitter.
And I don't even think we are. That's what's crazy about this. I think coming into next season, yeah, having Micah Parsons there would have made a difference. Do you know who would have made a bigger difference? Tucker Kraft would have absolutely carved up our defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't there. You move on. We had players that weren't there too. And I'm sorry that you had players that weren't there. And I'm sorry your offseason sucks. But you know what? Deal with it. I've had to deal with it. If you don't want Packers fans grating cheese on every fucking social media account they possibly can, get your team to beat the Bears. And it's the same thing as when Aaron Rodgers said, "I still own you." Most Bears fans actually just went, I mean, what can we say?
Yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah, there's a few, probably including myself, when I got a bit heated, that didn't really like it. But when I calmed down a bit, I was on the understanding that, yeah, okay, so we just suck. That's the problem. Like, let us have one fucking win, okay? And here's what's crazy, okay? So when they won the first game, both Bears fans and Packers fans were very much, that was a really good game. This is more fun when it's competitive. Both sets. And then the Bears won the next one, and the Packers fans were like, now hang on a minute, that's not how this is actually supposed to go. You can get close, but don't actually win the game. And it just seems...
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. Your ex-defensive end, the most overrated player in the NFL, Clay Matthews, he got up on stage at the draft and claimed that he'd spoken to Donald Trump and wanted to speak to 32 NFL franchises. This is to open the fucking draft. And said that, and put up a sign saying the Bears still suck, and thought that was hilarious. Which is, he is right. It is hilarious on many counts now, but like, the fact is, this just shit just happens. Deal with it. It's God. It sucks, and I'm sorry, Packers fans. You're not used to it, but you will get used to it. Trust me. Because the Lions will beat us both next year if they get fucking Mike McDaniels. In terms of the actual game, it was every Bears game that's happened this season, but dialed up to 11. The best tweet I saw on it was the Caleb can't keep winning games with fourth quarter bullshit. And then it says reaches into his bag, grabs out even more fourth quarter bullshit. And that's pretty much
it. Well, now I'm going to do it even harder.
That throw. Like, it will become iconic. That's several things that will come from this game are Colson Loveland, I think, is going to be at least a top five tight end. And that throw will mean that Caleb Williams will never have to buy a drink or a matcha in Chicago ever again. And also, calm down with the Peyton and Nail stuff, guys. You're sounding a bit homophobic.
American football fans being homophobes?
It's fucking unreal. He gives a fuck if he paints it. So, and the reason he paints his nails is really sweet. He paints his nails as like a nod to his mother, who's a nail technician, who used to test out like new designs on him. So now he just does it because like his mother used to do it with him. But yeah, you guys, you're sounding pretty homophobic. He paints his nails, so what? He's either good or he's bad. His nails have nothing to do with it. Unless he grows them long, in which case that might have something to do with it. But, you know. Anyway, sorry, I went off there. But, yeah.
No, a bit. We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Colson Loveland is going to be special. That is the one thing that's the hill I will die on this one. But, yeah.
I don't know if it needs to be a hill, buddy. We're kind of with you. It's okay. I know you're not used to this. This is what success is like, Daniel.
I have no clue. But so, like, Matt Nagy, it still felt kind of dirty. Because like Mitch Trubisky was still bad, but like this is unusual to me because the coach is good, and the quarterback appears like he might be about to become good. I still don't think he's quite there yet. I think he's knocking on the door, but I am not used to this. I would like their defense to show up in the first half of the games, please. Though, please, for fuck's sake, against Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams,
they do a very good job of adjusting defensively. They've done it all year.
Yeah.
Second halves have been so much better defensively for you guys. That's when you get your takeaways. That's when you get your big plays. That's when you get your stops. It's not in the first half. It's in the second half when you've suddenly gone, oh, this is what they're doing. Recognize it and then immediately make the change. And yeah, that's how you've beaten a bunch of teams this year.
I think it's because I think the offense does the same thing as well. I think Ben Johnson goes in the half and just monkeys around with things and it seems to work. So
he's a little bit psychotic. So yes.
He said he's a nutcase. And he's
my nutcase. See the numbers. I see them.
He's
I
great.
Can taste colors.
Everyone kind of hates him at the moment, but I'm you know, funny enough, I don't.
It's only Green Bay fans that hate him. Everyone else is fine with Ben Johnson.
Lions fans don't really like him very much either.
I think that's
understandable. Yeah, I get that. But
nobody likes to see their ex doing well.
Oh, yeah. But I had to watch two of them in the playoffs. It was great.
Shit, yeah, sorry, man. But if I'd love to know what you guys think, because like I've got a very biased opinion on this, because I honestly don't think I can remove bias from this one, because it was one of those. I was fucking crying at 4 o'clock in the morning, like full on tears, like because I'd never, and like it was one of those ones where you look around the stadium and you see the fans celebrating and you're seeing Caleb Williams like grating fucking cheese on live TV and you're like, I've never seen this. This is unreal. And the general, if I won the lottery tonight, the first thing I would do is buy a ticket to Chicago, because I would want to experience that. Because apparently the city is buzzing at the moment in a way that, like, the two people that are like the big sports stars in Chicago are Jordan, obviously, and Ditka. And Jordan won how many rings? Six rings?
Six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Mike Ditka won one fucking Super Bowl. And that's how much they care about the Chicago Bears there. All the Bulls players turning up with the cheese grater. It's got the vibe there. I want to go and experience it. I don't have to go to the game. I just want to be in Chicago.
I mean, if you won the lottery, I'm pretty sure you could buy a ticket to the game.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But if this is what the reality we're basing it on, yes, if you win the lottery, I'm pretty sure you can get a ticket to the game.
If I could find enough things to sell to afford a ticket to go to Chicago right now, I absolutely would. Because it's one of those things that, like, I don't know. This might be a one-off. This might be just this year, and I'd like to see it through.
I think you're going to be okay. I think you're going to be fine. I think this might be. You might not win this many games every season because Detroit won't necessarily be as bad.
Well, I think all three of the teams in the division could get better.
Yeah, apart from the Vikings. I don't think they will.
I don't know how they get better unless nine comes good.
Don't call him that. Don't call him by the nickname he gave himself. Good Lord.
Nine's his alter ego. It's not his nickname.
I don't care. It's dumb and undeserved and cringy. Please go away.
Yeah. One last thing on this then before we move on to the Sunday slate. I think the play that won them the game was... shows you just how good Ben Johnson is at play calling, not just play design, because that had been set up by lots of short passes and screens to Carlton Loveland.
Yeah,
that everybody just bit as soon as he tried to leak out into the flat, and then just ignoring DJ Moore. It was a lovely piece of play sequencing. So the fake screen to then pass to DJ Moore was lovely. Some proper nerdy stuff for the win.
Beautiful.
You gotta love it.
So yeah, he'd run it at least twice before and done different things each time, and then given very obvious tells on what was going to happen every time, and then done slightly different things. So by the time they ran it the third time, slightly confused them, and actually what they did was something completely different, which is DJ Moore just running completely open on a fade.
It was lovely, good stuff. All right. Let's move on before this podcast extends into tomorrow. Then the Buffalo Bills traveled to Florida to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think the most disappointing thing to come out of this game is that this was the two best offenses in the AFC side of the playoffs. And now we're not going to see one of them anymore. So that's quite disappointing.
Yeah.
Because the game was pretty damn good. Both teams played very, very well. One slightly better than the other, which is why the Bills eventually won.
That is how games are won. Yes, yeah.
As a neutral fan, it was fantastic because it was just like back and forth. Lots of great things happening on both sides. Great football all round. And then yeah, one team had to lose.
Yeah, I can't add too much to that. The Jags impressed me. They've been impressive all season anyway, but that was a really good performance from them. I know they lost, but I would be very encouraged by it, because it means that you can. This is repeatable, you know. As long as you keep building on this, don't sit on it. Don't sort of sit and just assume that just this is enough. Keep building on what you've got there with that aggressive D line that can stop the run and everything else. With the way that you've got Trevor Lawrence playing, the way you've got that offense moving, keep building, keep adding pieces and talent to it because you've got something. You've got something special there. If you keep adding talent and everything else to it, you've got a shot. So I'd be very positive if I was the Jags. And the Bills, you've got an away win in the playoffs, which you haven't had for apparently 20 plus years.
Mm.
That's good. And also, just please, just at least keep winning games, please, for Buffalo. I'm not saying I want you to win the Super Bowl, but just get past the AFC Championship game, man. and keep Josh Allen vaguely healthy, please. He went out injured twice in this game with banged his finger up, and then they weren't even on the normal stuff that you worry that Josh Allen's going to get hurt by. Normally you worry that Josh Allen's going to get hurt because he's running head first at a linebacker. These were just where defensive linemen got through the line and got to him, or just little like niggly bits rather than him doing his usual charging towards somebody. Keep him healthy for the playoffs, please. Please and thank you, because he's one of the most entertaining things to watch in the playoffs. So if you could just not hurt him, that'd be great. Thanks.
Real shame seeing the Jags go out, though. I completely agree.
Yeah.
That's a fun team they're putting together there. Like, mm-hmm. It's their receiving core's sneaky good. And technically they've got Travis Hunter coming back as well, who, by the way, I think now, when you look at what their receiving core is now with Jacoby Myers, with Washington, with Ryan Thomas Jr. Like, Travis Hunter is a cornerback.
Yes.
Like, he is a cornerback. Put him in at cornerback, you'll improve your cornerback room, and your wide receivers are okay anyway. So you'll be fine. Trevor, unlucky in that second interception as well.
That wasn't on him. That wasn't on him.
First one. Was, but like
the first one totally was.
Yeah, the first one was, but quarterbacks throw interceptions, it happens. That one, the second one, it bounces off the guy's hands. That's not on you.
Trevor throws interceptions in the same way Stafford throws interceptions, I'd rather he was taking those chances. He's quite Josh,
and he's felt more comfortable in that respect as well. Mm-hmm. In that when he does make a mistake, it hasn't felt this year, it hasn't felt like he gets down on himself about it. What he does is he throws the interception, and like you said, he's like Stafford. He's like, mm-hmm. All right, and just goes out the next play and keeps playing the same way.
Yeah.
And that's what, and he doesn't sort of let it affect him. It's like the problem with Baker. Baker throws an interception and immediately tries to get it all back the second next time down straight away. Whereas mm-hmm. Trevor just keeps playing to the playbook and not doesn't try and do the hero thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So Jacksonville had some good plans going into this game. They did a great job of limiting James Cook. And usually this season, when teams have done that, they've been able to win because Josh Allen has not played like he did in the playoffs, because he was absolutely insane, completing 80% of his passes. Crazy. This was like crazy MVP good Josh Allen. Josh.
Yeah.
And he hasn't, but he hasn't been back. Yeah, he has not been that this season. And when you've been able to stop James Cook, you've essentially been able to stop Buffalo. So they came in with the right plan, but they just couldn't stop the reigning MVP.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. It's Josh Allen. There's not a lot you can do. He throws as well as any quarterback out there. Plus, he's built like the side of a house. So if he starts running, you don't want to hit him because it hurts.
I
don't want to tackle that. I'm a big guy. I don't want to tackle that.
We've got the two MVP candidates, like almost neck and neck, and they're in the playoffs, and neither of them are as good as the guy that definitely won't win MVP this year. like Josh Allen is next level. Like,
absolutely. Running. There's a reason we sort of put the big three, plus maybe Joe Burrow in that tier, is because of just that level they can get to. Like, Stafford's arm talent is insane. Absolutely.
I forgot I do have a lot riding on this weekend. But if the Bears can beat them, then Stafford probably doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
Yes, very important game.
You know, Stafford's arm talent has always been excellent. You know, as a man who throws the ball in that respect, he is elite. But that's his elite skill. Josh Allen has elite arm talent and his elite mobility. And as you saw, that ability to just put the team on his back. You know, Matt Stafford works well in a system. I don't want to say he's a system quarterback, but he is a little bit a system quarterback. Whereas Josh Allen is the system. You put things on him. You don't put him into something. You build Josh around
Allen,
him.
Josh Allen can work in a system, and he does that for most of the season. But then when it breaks down into games like this, he understands that he has to kind of put it on his back and win the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Josh Allen pretty much single-handedly did that in this one.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Love that man. Mm. Great taste in women as well. I'm just saying.
Let's move on. So the Carolina Panthers gave a good... they were the seventh seed at all. What am I talking about? More on them. Who were the seventh seed in the NFC?
Packers.
I thought it was. I thought it was the 49ers. But so everything. I'm just ignore everything I've said in the past. You know, minute and a half.
Okay.
Basically, the Chargers sucked. They shouldn't have been in the playoffs, and they lost to the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
It was. They were comically bad on offense.
I didn't really feel like the Patriots played that well.
No, I mean, it wasn't like the Patriots played an amazing game. Yeah. They just played better than what was against them.
Yeah.
Please, I say get an offensive line. They do have an offensive line. They just hurt. Just get a new medical staff in or something, anything, please.
Well, they've got a new coordinator because they fired Greg Roman today as well.
Cool, great. That could help partly, I guess, because then you maybe have someone who can deal with the fact that you have injured offensive. Your superstar tackles are both out.
Teams historically do get a lot better after Greg Roman's gone.
That is true. That is true. You got no tackles, but they found ways to win games this season though. So you can only blame so much of that on the injured tackles. It's just something about the Chargers, man. They're going to find a way to charge it, and they charge it real hard.
Mm. Yeah.
They don't put themselves in positions to win.
They don't. Yeah. They make it hard for themselves.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, there's a talent deficit, but yeah, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, it's a real shame, actually, because Jesse Minter did a really good job of limiting... I've forgotten his bloody name. Drake May. Limiting him because he looked a little out of sorts in the game. The Patriots' offense wasn't particularly good. He did enough to win in the end. But, yeah, I think he did an excellent job of making the scheme difficult for the Patriots. But it didn't. In the end, it didn't matter because, yeah, the offense was terrible.
I mean, if you keep the Patriots under 20 points, you should win the game. Like,
yes,
yeah,
yeah. You, the defense wasn't the issue here. Just the offense had an absolute nightmare, and it's not the first time. And I'm not, it's not Justin Herbert's fault. It's not.
Might be.
But it is kind of his fault in the playoffs. Like regular season, Justin Herbert is great. Postseason, Justin Herbert is not.
He was sacked 6 times. That doesn't help.
This is where the injuries to the offensive line does come in. It's just like, don't have either of your starting tackles, both of whom are excellent. And it does make it harder to pass the ball if you're lying on your back. It's not impossible. It's just much, much more difficult. And
There's not really too much to say about this game.
No, there's not a huge amount. It's just they got beat by a better team, and it wasn't pretty.
So
what do you want? I only watched the shortened highlights. I didn't even watch the game in 40. This is how ugly this was.
All right, I'll stop trying to find things to say about this game. I think I'm just going to move on to something that was actually kind of interesting. So the San Francisco 49ers traveled to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. And this was a great battle between two footballing greats as Vic Fangio took on Shanahan. And I think Shanahan came out just on top because it was really good. It was really good back and forth. Shanahan was finding fun and creative ways to use Christian McCaffrey to generate offense. And it was a slog at times for the 49ers. I think the Eagles' defense played pretty well up until they clearly got gassed out because they were on the field all the bloody time. I think it's another team in the Eagles where the offense completely let down a pretty good defensive performance.
Yeah, that defense would have probably been okay if they hadn't had to, as you put it, they were gassed because they had spent so much time on the field because that Eagles offense was playing, to be fair, like it's played all season, dysfunctional. You know, a lot of times they've been good enough to beat teams, but the Niners are better than most of the teams they've played this year. You know, the Niners are probably the second best team in the NFC, not the first best because, you know, there are specific teams that are number one. But, you know, this Niners team is incredibly talented. Although their defense isn't great. It's not great. You've not got Fred Warner. You've not got Nick Bosa. That secondary is spotty and the Eagles still can't find a way to put points on them with all the talent that the Eagles have.
Exactly.
The Eagles have got an insane amount of talent. How are you not putting up more points on this? I mean, this was the thing that I thought would be the Achilles heel for the Niners in the playoffs, is their defense isn't great because it's all hurt or just not that good. And the Eagles just couldn't do anything effectively, which has basically been the story all year. But they've been lucky because the teams they've had to play have been, you know, the Giants, the Commanders, the Cowboys. They're not very good.
And the NFC South.
And then the NFC South, which, again, I mean, what, the Saints and the...
Bucks.
Yeah, them.
Smash them.
You know, the Eagles have got lucky because they've beaten bad teams. That's where they've got their 11 wins. Anytime they came up against a good team, they kind of shit themselves. They're not great.
How do you solve a problem like AJ Brown? Who clearly doesn't like Nick Sirianni.
No, he does not. He doesn't. I would fire Nick Sirianni personally because I don't actually know what Nick Sirianni does, but he's a head coach. He's a head coach who's won a Super Bowl in the last 2 years, and it's kind of hard to fire somebody at that point. Winning season. Yes. You need a better offensive coordinator who can actually make use of the talent that Philly has, because they've got obscene levels of talent. They really do. They got away from the tush push, which actually was a good thing, because they started using like fakes off of the tush push and stuff like that, because teams had started to work out how to slow it down and everything else, which is what would eventually always happen. You know, you keep running a play over and over again, eventually teams are going to find a way to deal with it. And, you know, they started running all kinds of interesting stuff, like getting Dallas Goedert to run off of it, off the side, and stuff like that. And that's great. But they do that, like, once or twice a game. There was a lack of a function in that offense. Jalen Hurts is a damn good quarterback. He just is.
Mm-hmm.
And Saquon Barkley is a great running back. And you've got these, like, great receivers and a really good tight end, and you are, and the offensive line, even when it's a little bit banged up, is still better than 90% of other teams' offensive lines.
Yeah.
How are you not playing better offense against a bad defense? The Niners is not a good defense.
They played well in this one, to be fair.
They like, played well, but I think part of that is probably because they only had to play the Eagles, who can't play functional offensive football. I mean, part of the reason I'm ranting is because now it means I have to, the Seahawks have to play the Niners again, and I just don't want to. I'd rather play the Eagles because they're dysfunctional and we would have beaten them easily, and I would have had a nice, comfortable evening. But instead, I've got to be stressed. I don't want that. The Eagles' offense infuriates me. The defense did a really good job. They got tired because they'd spent too much time on the field. And the Niners, as you put it, Shanahan was crafty. He was patient as well.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get, you know, it's easy. And, you know, and the players were all patient as well. They didn't get frustrated because they, you know, it didn't necessarily come straight away. But, you know, a couple of trick plays. It's a bit upsetting that George Kittle's out. I don't like many Niners players. I do quite like George Kittle. He seems like a wonderful human being. Not just because he has a similar haircut to me. And has a Halo themed tattoo and is awesome in just general. I just like him. I wish he didn't play for the Niners. I wish he played for anybody else.
Shanahan coach of the year.
You can make the argument. Yeah.
He's my coach of the year.
I think it's between him and Liam Cohen for me. But those are the two.
Ben Johnson.
It's not Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson walked into a reasonable team and made them pretty good. Liam Cohen walked into an absolute tire fire and made them good. And Shanahan has lost a star player every week since the season began. Has kept them good.
He's done something very smart, though, and I think it's what's helped keep McCaffrey healthy, is he's using him less in the run game. He's using him more in the passing game. And I think he does still use him as a running back, but because he's used him so much more in the passing game this season, and use him less on running downs, it's probably helped him not get banged the fuck up as he goes between the tackles and everything else. You know, he's because he's given him downs where he doesn't have to do that, but still kept him on the field. I think that's helped keep, like, at least McCaffrey healthy, which is what has kept the Niners going when they did lose all their star players week after week after week. They still kept winning games because McCaffrey was still there. And because you can use him in so many different ways, it allows your offensive system to still be effective even without other superstar players in it.
Yeah. Tell you what, Lenore's quite good for the Niners. He's a very, very good player. I mean, I know that's not really news, but he played really well in this one. So. Sirianni, also controversial. Sirianni probably should have lost his job.
That's not that controversial here, Daniel. We all agree.
Like, just it, for this, how it's gone this season, he should probably not be in there still.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I don't know. They don't
put Tomlin in there. Tomlin knows what to do with angry wide receivers.
Tomlin and Vic Fangio would kill each other.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure they'd be fine because they're professionals that love the game.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Tomlin would probably get the most out of AJ Brown, to be fair. Like, he has a history of being able to deal with troubled wide receivers.
We're looking at you, Antonio Brown.
Yeah. That, then, of course, you know, one of his wide receivers did punch a fan fairly recently. But...
yeah, it was more of a slap.
Yeah, and it sounds like the prick deserved it, but there we go.
Yeah, so it was very just the Eagles' offense was entirely frustrating because, well, they're just so full of talent.
Yep.
Like, you can go through both rosters on offense, and it's rare that you'd take a 49er at any position.
Yep.
There's probably two you'd take. Maybe three, depending on how you feel about Brock Purdy.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take Jalen Hurts, but...
yeah, but
I have a soft spot for him.
I think that's a push, though. When and
yeah, probably, it's very, very close. Very close conversation.
You'd probably take Jalen, tight end.
And I think Jalen Hurts needs an offensive coordinator for more than a year.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice for him, yeah.
Sorry.
So, very disappointing from the Eagles. Well done to the 49ers. They really, really had to battle back against a very tough defense, and it was very impressive.
Not a great weekend for Pennsylvania.
No.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, actually, I have no idea about American geography. I should keep my mouth shut.
No, you're right. That was deliberate. I was trying to set you up there.
That's massive crisis of confidence.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Yeah, great. Pittsburgh is Pennsylvania.
Fine. So in the final game on Wildcard Weekend, the Houston Texans traveled to the Pittsburgh Steelers and answered the age-old question that, yes, defense can win you football games because CJ Stroud tried his best to give this game away.
That wasn't a football game. That was elder abuse. It wasn't.
Yes, the Texans defense waffle stomped the Steelers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got some classic Aaron Rodgers hitting the ground poses in this one. Yeah, it's some of my favorites. I love the faces he puts.
He pulls great faces when he gets smashed into the floor.
He does, yeah. It's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Got a load of that in this one.
Yeah. It's like any time you watch a villain in a TV show getting his face punched in.
Yeah.
Just same principle.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It wasn't really a game. As I say, CJ Stroud gave it his best shot to make it a game. But the Texans defense is next level. I think the Broncos and the Seahawks might have the best defense in the league. I think I've said this before. The Texans might have the scariest defense in the league.
They're so violent.
Yeah. I know I would rather play the Texans defense than the Broncos or the Seahawks defense. But deep down, I think I would rather play those two guys rather than the Texans defense because I don't want to see my quarterback get hired that hard every
week. This is the thing. Yeah. As a coach, I'd rather play the Texans defense because I don't think it's as as you point out, it's as talented as Denver or Seahawks. As a player, I would really rather not play against the Texans defense. No. Thank you very much.
That looks really scary.
Those motherfuckers look like they want to take my fucking head off and I don't want it. I'm good.
I'd
rather be gently sacked repeatedly by by the Broncos or the Seahawks than die at the hands of the Texans. No thank you.
I think the only thing that I enjoyed about this game was just how thoroughly over that Aaron Rodgers now is. I don't think he's not providing anything anymore.
Nope.
So that was gratifying to see, but CJ Stroud was very up and down. He did make some nice plays, but he also made some atrocious plays.
Oh, yeah.
So that needs to be cleaned up because they've got a very tough matchup against New England coming up. And like we said, we don't think New England's defense played well, but they're no slouches. They've got two very good corners. He's going to need to play a lot better than that if they want to win another mudfest of a game. So that's quite concerning for the Texans, but that defense is incroyable.
Yeah.
It's not good. Oh, sorry. The Texan defense is very good. I'm talking about like I got in my own head about the Steelers offense there. Texan defense is excellent. Yeah, it's exceptional.
Yeah. We've already talked about the Steelers' like long-term outlook and how they need to do a big rebuild. So that was evident in this game.
Yeah, that game highlighted every issue the Steelers had
Yeah.
as they limped into the playoffs in the first place.
Which I think is why Tomlin resigned.
Yes.
I my favorite one of my favorite memes leading up to this was the field goal, and it was the Ravens kicker, and either side of the post was Harbaugh gets fired, and in the middle was Tomlin
Tomlin
gets
gets
fired.
fired,
And now I've seen a new one up to date, and it just said "choice is an illusion." It cracked me up. So
Yes.
right. That was NFL Wildcard Weekend. We did get a couple of questions from Duncan, but I think we've kind of answered them. One was, I think, just kind of helping you out about crowing about the Packers win.
Yeah, he knows me well enough. I don't need help.
Yeah, you're doing a fine job. You're
he
doing a fine
also
job, sir.
asked what's next for the Steelers, and we talked about that at length right at the beginning
Yes.
of the podcast. So if you want to get in contact with us and tell us about how wrong our opinions are, please do so on Blue Sky, where we are gridirongents.bsky.social. Check us out on Instagram. If you search for Gridiron Gents, I'm sure we'll come up. But the best thing to do is come and join our Discord server, where we're having daily NFL chats. The live react streams to all the games are great fun. I encourage you all to come join us. To do so, go find us on social media, where we'll have either a pinned Blue Sky or link in bio, basically, to the Discord. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Dan. That was a lot of fun. We'll see you a bit later in the week to preview the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Tatty bye.